So, Will, how old were you when you first picked up a golf club and started playing?
Oh, geez. Before I could walk, I was holding myself up with a golf club. I think I was two or three at that point.
Really? So, and did you just, you fell in love with the game right away, or did you have other sports and then you eventually came back to golf?
Yeah, I played other sports growing up, baseball, and I skied in the winters and stuff like that, and kind of just grew into golf a little bit more. I liked that it was an individual sport and it was all on me, basically.
Your swing, was it from a combination of baseball and skiing, or is it your own thing? Did you copy someone? Where did you find this beautiful swing?
I just developed over a couple years. I mean, I worked with several coaches, now I don't really work on too many positions. I kind of just go out and hit golf shots, and swing looks great, but I just kind of just go hit shots.
So when you say you go hit shots, do you go in, like, when you were younger, was it just I hit anything? And now, obviously, I'm assuming you're a pro, so you specialize. Some days you're like, okay, I want to shoot this or that. But, hey, how do you learn, to draw and fade? Like, what's the difference in the swing approach to do both on purpose?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think it's just practice over time and working the ball both ways. I felt like I was one-dimensional as a kid. I could only hit draws.
Okay.
And when you miss it with a draw, obviously it's turning over, so it's got a lot more heat on it. So I love to hit fades now. I don't really hit too many draws. I definitely don't hit any draws with a driver. Sometimes it's iron, so I have a right pin or something like that. But, yeah, I think just developed over the last couple of years, just hitting fades, a little bit of a softer shot, and just can control the ball a little better.
So when you say you hit a fade, Will, what? Cause I'll be honest, I can't hit a fade. Like, if I hit a fade, it's fluke. It's not.
That's true.
It's not on purpose. So, like, what do you do? How do you approach? How do you purposely hit a fade? What's the swing pattern? What's different than a draw?
That's a tough question. I just try and create the shot. So I'm not really thinking too much about numbers and stuff like that. But, obviously, if you put yourself on track, man, and you hit a draw, obviously the face has to be open. You hit a fade, the face has to be closed to the path.
Okay.
And basically, you can get all into details about the numbers and stuff like that. But for me, it's more just like feeling fades and feeling draws. But I think, like I said, that was developed over the last couple of years, and like I said, I could only hit draws as a kid, and felt like it got me in a lot of trouble. But now that I hit some fades, it's softer and just better control.
I like it. It's good to know. Now, what about as far as when did you feel that, or when did you get the sense that this could be your career, being a professional golfer?
As a kid, I there was a class I was taking, and basically it was they asked, what do you want to do as a career? And they also said, if that doesn't work out, what's your second choice? So I think I was 10 or 11 at that point, and I said that I wanted to be a professional golfer. And for the second choice, I put, I haven't decided yet. So I felt like, at a young age, I really wanted to play pro golf and obviously developed it, in the early years there, from 11 to 16, and then, moved down to Florida. And at that point, when I was younger, I always said I wanted to be a professional golfer, but it didn't really become a reality until, probably around 18, 19, 20, where I was like, I think I can do this.
Will Bateman joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. He was the 2022 PGA Tour Canadian player, PGA Tour Canada player of the year. And now you're going to the Corn Ferry Tour. Tell us about the Corn Ferry Tour. Where do you play? And how much of a step up is this going to be for you?
So we're going to be playing, we're starting out in the Bahamas. That's going to be in January. And then I just saw they announced a couple of tournaments in Latin America. So they start there, and then there's a solid break. There's probably like a 6-week break, and then we basically are in the States for all next year. And yeah, it's obviously a great opportunity, and just the fact that I the biggest thing for me is that I don't have to go to Q school. Okay. Last year, I had a great season on the Perform Tour, which was the guys with Canada status, but we couldn't come up here because of COVID. But I had a great season. I think I finished, you know, 21st on the money list, so it got me into second stage. And I played second stage. I think I missed finals by, you know, a couple shots, two or three shots. And just the fact that I don't have to go to final stage at all this year, and that I'm full status out there is obviously huge. And just to not be subject to the reshuffle is pretty big, because, you know, I can set my schedule for the whole year, and you know, I can play every event with and I can't get knocked out by anyone. So I think that's big. And then, you know, obviously getting into the RBC is going to be a lot of fun too, and playing the Canadian Open will be really fun.
Well, what does it look like as far as traveling? Are you, like, I know that you start in the 6-week break, then you start again. But once you start, are you constantly on the road, or able to go back to home base? I'm guessing is it Florida or Arizona?
Yes. Yeah, I'm in Scottsdale. But yeah, next year is going to be similar to this year from what I've heard schedule wise. And last year, I think they went, so after the 6-week break, they're after the first four. They went like 16 in a row, something like that. So, you know, obviously you're not going to come home at all in between those. But, you know, Canadian Tour was nice this year. They had a couple breaks, and it's going to be important for me next year just to be able to pick my schedule. I mean, I feel like playing 16 weeks of golf in a row is just, it's a lot. You know, you want to give yourself the most opportunity. So you want to play as much as you can, but at the same time, you know, obviously you want to, you know, play quality golf and not be exhausted out there. So it's going to be different for me, because I haven't played a, you know, a 30 event schedule. I've usually been playing Canada, where it's, you know, it's, or Latin America, where there's, you know, 16 events max, but playing 30 events would be good, and stretching it out over the whole year should be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, golf is a very difficult sport on its own, but then, you know, the stress of the finance. Like, if you sign a contract in the NHL, you know what you're getting paid, right? Golf is different. Now, obviously, you have some sponsorship money, but you need to perform. How much more of a financial challenge is it going to this tour?
I think it's, you know, I see it as a huge benefit. I mean, the purse is from 2020 to this next year have a 60% increase. So every event we're playing next year is going to be $1 million minimums purses. And, you know, obviously we're playing for U.S. dollars, not Canadian. You know, but I look at it as, you know, obviously the money's great and stuff. And, you know, obviously this is my career and this is what I do for a living. But I look at it as, you know, this is what I love to do, and I love competing. And the money is just a bonus. You know, I want to be out there competing with, you know, really good players. And I just want to see how good I can get at the game. And, you know, like I said, the money is great as well. But I'm really playing for, you know, the fact that I love it.
Yeah, it's a byproduct. I love how you're putting that. It's a byproduct of your competitiveness. That's awesome. Now, what about as far as when you move up tours? How many guys would you say on the average move up or down? Like, are there a lot of new guys coming up into this tour you're joining? Like, were you new guys, or would it be a lot of new guys you don't know?
Yeah, there's a lot of movement in pro golf. You know, like, obviously, guys can have 4 years and stuff like that, and you know, they can drop down from PGA to Korn Ferry. And some guys can even drop down, you know, if they have a pretty poor year, they can drop down from PGA to even PGA Canada. So there is a lot of movement. There is going to be a lot of guys that are going to be moving up from Canada and Latin. And then obviously going through Q school, they're going to offer, I think, 45 full cards at final stage. So those guys will be obviously fully exempt. There'll be a bunch of guys that had conditional last year or played the year that will get to finals and get their full card back. But there will be a new group of guys. Every year there's a new group of guys that are, you know, playing Korn Ferry. And then, as you know, graduating to the PGA Tour, there's a lot of new faces. And if you can just keep, you know, keep the pedal down and keep pushing, you can climb pretty fast.
For any of our listeners, Will, if they you know, they turn on the TV and they're watching Will Bateman, what's the best part of Will Bateman's golf game?
Oh, Right now, mental. Yeah, right now, just really sharp in the head, and I've been working on that for a couple of years, and you know, really just believing in myself. And but physical, I would say I drive it really well. Feel like I hit it pretty far in tournaments, maybe a little further than you know, on the range and stuff, or from playing with my buddies, just because, you know, adrenaline and yep. and focus and whatnot, and also feel like I'm a really good putter.
How far do you hit it on average? Like, what are you off the tee?
So distance-wise, it can really vary from, you know, course to course, because you get really firm courses and really soft courses. But I'd say I carry it, you know, anywhere from, you know, 300 to 320-ish. And, you know, my ball speed's about, like, 177, 178. And that's on, you know, that's on TrackMan, just on the range that I'm kicking with my friends. But in tournaments, I'm probably in the 180s.
Holy cow. So if you're playing with your buddies, like, how do you handicap it? Like, do they force you? Is there certain, like, do you have to hit your driver from the fairway instead of irons? How do you even it out?
Yeah, you know, I actually am one of the, you know, one of the pros that keeps a handicap, actually. So I just do it because I play with a lot of members up at Desert Forest, and we just go by handicap. But then obviously when I play with my friends that are pros, you know, we play straight up. But just, you know, I keep a handicap just because I want to see how many rounds I play per year. And, you know, it tracks all my scores so I can look back and, you know, say, you know, whatever my scoring average is for this year. And I like it, so.
Let me ask you this, Will. We had this conversation a while ago. Would you rather have a hole-in-one or be able to dunk a basketball?
Oh, hole-in-one all day.
Do you have any hole-in-ones?
Yeah, I have five.
Oh,
five.
Okay. That's okay. This interview is over. Share some with the rest of us, man.
Yeah, but okay. So you have five hole in one. Will, have you ever dunked a ball?
Never dunked a ball.
Yeah. So what? Like, because now you know what it feels like to have a hole in one. Yeah. Like, if the next one would be your sixth hole in one, if it was in a non tournament, or a dunking of the ball.
No, definitely sixth hole in one.
What? Okay, I like it.
There's nothing like holing a shot from, you know, from the tee, and everybody's going nuts. It's no better feeling.
Yeah.
What was your favorite? What was your favorite? And by the way, yeah, I'm sure it is a great feeling, yeah. Will. I have no idea what it feels
it
like. But
we know you're good, Will. We know you're good.
Which one was your favorite hole in one?
Jeez.
Oh, by far the one at my... So my dad lives out at Black Hawk Golf Club, and he lives on the third hole, and I got one there when I was 16 on that hole.
Oh, the hole number three, the elevated three. I like it.
Jeez, that's a
yeah,
hard hole.
Yeah, back right pin, a little draw in there, and one hopped right in the hole.
Well, I thought you didn't like draws.
I was 15 at that time, so...
That's all I could hit, Freddy. That's all I could hit.
Yeah. Oh, so there's hope
so
for us.
15 was your first hole-in-one.
No, I was actually 11 when I got my first
one. Oh, okay. Come on. Okay. Like, enough. Jeez. What a...
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
This injury is going
I love
south
it, Will. Oh, this... Hey, Will, do you have any tips for a guy who's 6'4", right? He's got really long arms, pretty skinny calves.
Chiseled.
And he struggles on his irons to be accurate. How can he be more accurate from 150 to the green?
Go practice.
Yeah. I think I'll tell my friend that.
Now, how many rounds, you said you track it. How many rounds you play last year?
I was looking at it the other day. From January till now, I think it was like 175.
Oh. And then that doesn't include practice.
Yeah.
Like on the range.
Include practice. Exactly. Yeah, that's just rounds.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of rounds, buddy. Well, hey, that's why you're a pro. Yeah. That's what you got to do. That's your job.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us on the show. It's great. We always like to see the success stories coming out of Edmonton, and we'll be following. So your first tournament's in the Bahamas, you said? Is that your first time to the Bahamas playing?
Yeah. First two tournaments are going to be in the Bahamas on Corn Ferry.
Yeah. Well, Will, good luck, ladies. Yeah, best of luck, man. But just so you know, I dunked a basketball more than 5 times, so I'm ahead of you.
Yeah, but with a trampoline, though, Will. He had a trampoline, so that doesn't really count.
I'll send you the video. Good luck, buddy. That's great.
Okay, thanks, guys.